This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing today?
Kevin, we've done it. We have arrived at Tuesday before the week before the draft. So we have a mission accomplished so far. I'm pretty excited about everything. Actually, this is a really good day for me. I'm feeling really happy.
Good.
Alec, you?
I'm happy because you're happy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
We're so close to the draft, man.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
And we just had a draft. What happened in that draft? We
got Paige.
Could it be any better right now? We got the best basketball player in the entire world. In
Doesn't
Dallas.
Doesn't that just mean we're going to trade her?
For the first time in the history of sports. Right? I mean,
yeah, Luka was never the best.
Yeah, we've never had the best player before.
He wasn't.
Ever. He was good. He was
He was good.
But he wasn't the best.
Is that Paige going to be the
Michael
best?
Michael Jordan. Well, hold on. So Bobby this morning said that she is better than Caitlin Clark. And I know Caitlin Clark has the most hype around her. But does Paige didn't have that hype, but she might be the more technically sound player out of both of those.
And now she's on the wings.
From the 214, time to trade Paige for Sue Bird. We're in win now mode. All right, that's the way we start this thing, boys.
What a long day it is going to be if that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation or hit us up on the Twitch or the YouTube. But we're going to start. We'll talk about Paige a little bit more in just a minute. We got Stephen Jones coming on the show at about 11:30. But we're going to start with some more Texas Rangers. And unfortunately, this might not be a positive highlight. Give me cut number 7.
The 1-1. High drive. Well hit ball out into center. Leote just watching as it hits up over the batter's eye. Second home run for De La Cruz. Both come with men on board. This two-run shot makes it 14-0.
Now, before the season started, we talked about how the Rangers look like they were going to be a really fun team to watch. They have been decidedly not fun to watch or listen to.
Yeah.
Now, they still have a good record, and I'm stoked about that, but why do you think this team has not been fun to watch thus far?
Because they're not stringing together a bunch of hits. You know, like,
I could see that.
Like we talked about, two first innings now, they've gotten bases loaded and been very minimal damage. And I still think the pitching's been a blast to watch. The Nate Eovaldi's given us some special things to see. Jack Leiter gave us some special things. Like, the pitching has been fun to watch at times. The hitting, however, has been an absolute struggle because the hitting is not producing a hit here, hit there, hit there, hit there, hit there. That's the most fun part of baseball. A solo home run for a game is not fun, right?
It can be.
In a 1-0 game?
Sure.
For the most part, though, it's more fun whenever your team is driving doubles. You got two runners on. There's intense stuff going on, and you know that your dude's about to come through. If that dude doesn't come through, then you have problems. So I think that's one of my biggest reason that it's been that way.
I think there are a lot of reasons. One of them, I would say, Jacob DeGrom just looks like a normal pitcher. And, I mean, I'm glad he's still healthy and he's still pitching, but Jacob DeGrom just looks like a normal pitcher so far, and that's been pretty disappointing. Alec?
That one's rough because you start to see like, especially Mets fans, they're like, I remember when he was pumping 102 past people, and now he's trying to sneak 95 inside the zone behind people. That's it's different. It's taking some getting used to, but I think that the biggest thing for me, honestly, is just the pop is still not there from most people. Like, outside of Jonah Heim, Jonah Heim gets my exemption. He gets my pass in this instance. But once we start to get some slug going for this team, we talked about it a lot yesterday, but, you know, the lack of depth in the rotation, the fact that, like, Dane Dunning couldn't even break camp with the major league team. There's a lot of things that just aren't as fun so far, but it all goes down to the offense not doing what they need to do. I know we're going to talk a lot about Jock Peterson today.
Yeah. If Peterson and Berger were better,
you know, I was
they
so
were producing,
excited for those moves.
Yeah, we'd be absolutely all about it, because those two dudes in the lineup would give us more of those opportunities to see more runners on base or see trots around the bases. But because they're not there, virtually non-existent for the team right now.
Exactly, and I thought the Jock Peterson leadoff experiment would go a little bit better, because a lot of his offensive production over his career was from the leadoff spot. Looking at some of the numbers, he's had some good success there, so I was thinking, hey, maybe one game getting more at-bats, like we talked about with Evan Carter, you know, what's a way that we can get a guy more at-bats, put him higher up in the lineup to get him more turns at the plate. I was hoping that maybe that one game instance would help, but all across the lineup, I'm just not having much fun watching these Rangers bat right now.
I was looking up the stats for Peterson and Berger combined 11 for 96. Yikes. I don't know why that's even worse than I thought it was in my mind.
Is that over 100? Just barely?
Yes, it is over 100.
But if they don't get...
Not by a lot.
If they don't get hits in their next five, will that be
it'll be less than that before they could drop right below 100.
We can do it. This is tonight's when we start, all right? It's a new series. It's a new opportunity. Let's get this thing rolling now and get above 100 as a hitter.
Do you care that... I mean, I guess. Like,
look, Kevin,
what a depressing statistic that is.
You can't get to 200... without getting to 100 first. We can't just take one big bite out of it. We got to take little small bites at a time, and eventually we'll get there.
Okay. You can't get to a batting average of 200 without getting to 100
You got
to
get there first.
I'm not disputing the math on that, obviously.
Unless, there is a way. If you start at 1,000. Like, if you start the season at 1,000, then you didn't have to go to 100 to get to 200.
I guess... That is true. So I wanted to go back to the hitting, and look, I can spin this in a positive way or a negative way if you want. So the Rangers have posted a slugging percentage of 626. Or excuse me, let's try that again. A team-wide on-base plus slugging percentage of 626.
Is that good?
No, that is not. That is the seventh worst in baseball. And they're in the bottom nine or worse in batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging. Let's take it a step further. Since 2010, no of the 58 teams, only three have made the playoffs. And I know it's early. And I know people are going to be like, oh, it's a tenth of the way through the season. I hear you. And I do. And I hope that all of this turns around. But the 2024 Tigers, so it just happened last year, 2020 Guardians, and the 2012 A's. Those are the only ones out of that group of 48. Sorry if I think I said 58. Out of that group of 48 made the playoffs.
Okay.
That's a 6% clip. But.
Small chance.
There's a small chance.
Very small chance.
Exactly. Better chance than.
Zero.
Jocker. Jake Berger getting. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That is not true. They're hitting like 11%. All right.
5% better.
Exactly. Almost twice as much. Now, to go along with that, though, only five of those teams had as many wins as the Rangers. And that's what I think is like the bizarre silver lining to all of this. So far, I think the Rangers have been incredibly boring to watch. I did see people say that Eovaldi complete game shutout was super exciting. Agreed. But for the most part, I think the Rangers have been incredibly boring to watch, but they still have a winning record, and they've already outpaced a lot of these historical teams, so that could be good.
Did you enjoy Leiter's starts when he looked like he was right? For me, I think it was one of those, like, it was the culmination of finally going, oh, look, he's finally gotten to what we expected.
Yeah.
And he was throwing heat, and he was all still kind of all wild, and I was loving it.
But it was just two starts, right?
Yeah.
I think, and then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what's holding me back on that, is I get it. It was a blister, and that's going to happen with pitchers.
You're
going to
feel
like
comfortable
that.
About midseason, yeah, if he's still cruising.
Exactly.
Like that.
Okay. Or if he's like, I mean, and I know he's going to struggle. Like, I realize the numbers.
He'll never struggle.
Okay. Well, fair
My
enough.
Prediction.
Well, then I'll definitely not worry. If he continues to have a whip and ERA under one, I will definitely not worry. Let's go on the off chance that he does have an ERA similar to Jock Peterson's batting average. No, I'm just kidding. Relax, everybody. I'm just kidding. If he has some struggles, I'll just appreciate it if he can go out there every 5 days. Because that's the thing. You've never seen Jack Leiter go out there every 5 days and pitch well.
Yep.
You've seen him go out there every 5 days and not pitch well. You've now seen him go out there twice and unfortunately have to go on the injured list. But I am very hopeful that we are going to get to the other side of that.
I am very curious. Last year, it seemed like Bochy and Chris Young were very patient with this roster. It kept being the, we've seen them do it, guys. We know. We just watched them win a World Series. We understand that. Like, we were in the same boat where we were giving them as much leeway and time as they could have. Do you think that Bochy and Chris Young will be a little shorter leash this year? And by the end of this month, probably go, okay, we have to make some adjustments. Like, we've seen what we've seen. Jock and Berger aren't... I think Berger is... He's your first baseman. They're not going to do much there. That's just my feeling on that. But will they look at that and say, we're going to have to find different bats? We thought this was going to work, and it's clearly not right now.
I think the end of the month is probably a good
place to start.
Yeah,
that.
That's probably a good place to start.
Last year, you got to trade deadline, and they were still like, I don't know. I know. I feel like we can still work with this team.
And that you'll learn a lot because the injuries really made them feel like they couldn't compete last year, right? So assuming you stay out of that environment and you're just like, hey, we're just struggling, I think you'll see this team be more aggressive and make some moves. But for people who are like, whether, because I know people are still irritated at Semien or Peterson or Berger or Leo, whoever it is, I think by the end of the month is finally when you might be like, all right, I've now seen you for the entirety of a month, and obviously a little bit more than a month. Now I feel comfortable to make some decisions. And at that point, you'll be like a fifth of the way through the season. And some of those numbers that felt like struggles, well, that's 20% of your season right there. I wanted to follow up because you asked me about this yesterday. Oblique injuries.
Oh my gosh, so many of them.
Now, I tapped into the resources of FanGraphs. I did not figure this out on my own. I wish I could tell you that. Believe it or not, the Rangers aren't even close to the top of the list. They only have the fifth most oblique injuries in the American League in the last 5 years. So they have 9. And that includes already. Clearly, we've had multiple obliques with Wyatt Langford. But it peaked a couple years ago with Leody, Ezekiel Duran, and Brad Miller. 9 is a lot. But you know who leads the way? Tampa Bay, who has 16.
What?
And then Minnesota and Toronto each had 13. And then the Angels and the Royals each had 10. So I get it. Every time there's an oblique injury, it does feel like the Rangers have more oblique injuries than anyone in the history of baseball. I'm just telling you, in this 5-year span, it's not even close.
What I love here, Kevin, is you just gave us a reason for optimism. Like that in a segment where we're down on everything, you just gave us a reason for optimism. Whereas with Tampa, everything's very bleak because of the oblique injuries. Bleak.
You see,
it's bleak and oblique.
I get it now.
But you can use them in terms.
I really thought that maybe something happened in Tampa Bay that I hadn't heard about. What?
I was just trying to throw everybody off with the she's dead thing.
See, and that's why I didn't want
to. This podcast is brought to you by Minz Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Minz Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINZ-TEA today or visit MinzTeaClinic.com. That's MinsteeClinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Laugh or anything, because I thought maybe something really bad had happened in Tampa Bay. And then if I was like, ha, 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 people are like, that's messed up, dude.
What a terrible,
how are you going to laugh at that?
Heartless man.
Yeah, those, and like something happened to the kids or something. I'd be like, I didn't know that. So I did not want to get caught up in that. I do also, thank you, Bruce Bochy, have positive news, sort of, for Marcus Semien. Hey, we're going to be pretty liberal with our definition of positive here, okay? Marcus Semien has a 387 OPS so far. That is not good.
It's not good by his standards at all.
Yes. In fact, it is the worst OPS of his career this far into the season. You know what was the previous worst? 2022. Once again, with the Rangers. When that season was over, he had a WAR of 5.7.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if I want to give you the rest of the context. Would be that his OPS at this point in the season last time was 500, and now it's 387. So that's even, like, significantly worse. But still, he went on to have a WAR of 5.7 and a fine, if not particularly exceptional, season.
And how old is he now?
Ooh, is he like 34?
And at that age, I anticipate, right? What you're saying here is you anticipate at that age, most players continue to get better as the season goes on.
I mean, like players like Nelson Cruz got better.
I love Nelson Cruz. You know that I love Nelson Cruz. And so that's thank you for giving me that kind of promise there. I appreciate that very much, Kevin. And I'm also proud of you for all the positivity that you just delivered to our lives.
From the, man, it's really tough. From the 254, can we turn the page for Beckers on this negative segment? And is Kevin trying to be positive about the Rangers today? They actually texted in, my name is Kevo, and I'm going to pass on that. But I appreciate the rest of the compliment. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, where will the Cowboys go with their first round pick? Here's what the national folk are saying. Do you agree, disagree, or are you indifferent? Next on the Fan.
And it's going to be a double pass. Aller loads, fires, deep man. There is Warren. Got it. Touchdown, Penn State.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Could that be where the Dallas Cowboys go in the first round? I have to admit, I would be surprised, but we're going to pick the brains or just read from what a lot of the national folks, I'm not going to say experts, think that the Cowboys will do with their number 12 overall pick.
When it comes to experts, who do you trust?
Dane. Rick Goslin. I always trust
Rick Goslin. Actually, I trust
yes,
a lot.
Yes, I do.
I would say
and Bobby Bell.
I trust Broaddus.
Oh, yeah, and Broaddus.
Woolchuck's very good. And I trust Bobby Belt. Bobby Belt who's sitting right there next to me.
Say Bobby Belt.
Looking like he wants to cut me if I don't say his name. So I've heard the rap songs.
Oh, yeah, I do not want to get involved.
Stay away from it altogether.
So Connor Rogers with NBC, Mason Cameron with Pro Football Focus, both think that Tyler Warren from Penn State is going to be the go-to. And they talked about how he's a unique player. And one of the things that got brought up is because we talked about how we feel pretty good about the tight end room is that Jake Ferguson is going to be in a contract year. We talked about the backslide that he had last year. I have to admit, I would be surprised if Tyler Warren was the direction that the Cowboys went in the first round.
Absolutely. I feel like a couple different names of moving up and moving down and doing some different things for that. And I guess I've just kind of stuck in on Tet And that's one of the questions I want to ask Steven at 11:30 today is,
are you going to take Tet McMillan?
Does size matter? And especially when it comes to him versus Matthew Golden, size is definitely a different factor for both of those two guys. You watch Matthew Golden and you're like, that's how I want a receiver to run routes.
Yeah.
Like, you just watch him and you're like, man, just look at his break here. Look at how easy it is for him to catch the ball. And then you watch Tet and you're like, oh, just big, big body that can glide down the field. I like both of those guys, but how much of that matters? And I guess I've just kind of locked in on receiver there because it looks like that's the way the draft is going to fall. But what happens when you get into that room? Everything gets screwed up, and now you're like, okay, what was our backup plan?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm stuck there with Tet right now.
Tet McMillan was listed by, I'm going to go with Jordan Plosher, maybe Ploche from Pro Football Focus. But the other person that you mentioned was Matthew Golden and Maurice Jones-Drew and Rhett Lewis from NFL.com both dropped out Matthew Golden. And that seems to be, at least wide receiver between those two, seems to be a popular thing that has picked up a lot of steam over the last 3 weeks or so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, for sure. And especially whenever you have a receiver like CeeDee Lamb already, we talk about this a lot with Luka when we're trying to team build around him. And that was what Nico hated, obviously, so much, was trying to build around that guy. But when you have a CeeDee Lamb and you have his skill set, do you want an interchangeable piece or do you want something that can take away from some of the coverage for him? Or maybe even roll up some coverage and have a guy that can win one-on-ones on the other side? So that's one of the reasons I see that there.
Man, since you mentioned that about Nico, Mark Stein had tweeted out that Nico Harrison and Rick Welts are holding a roundtable this morning with selected Dallas media members. Cameras and audio recording devices were not permitted for Harrison's first session with local reporters since the Luka trade.
Are you embarrassed? Why is it taking this long to have something like this? Because now we're going to get very like, No, let me re-explain this. We're going to get handcrafted stories delivered to us.
Here's
now,
why
right?
The move was great.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen is these handcrafted stories that are, there was no audio to prove otherwise.
Yeah, I don't want audio of the things that I am going to say.
Nor do I want video of my face whenever I lie to y'all.
Which kind of makes me wonder if it's that or if he's like, here are all the very specific issues that we had.
And you don't want, he doesn't want anybody to know which person said.
Yeah. And that is not for public consumption. I need to convince you. So all of a sudden, if you start seeing this like roll of sycophantic stories about, well, the Mavericks did what they had to do over the next 4 days, you'll know exactly what happened.
Which that's an interesting way you bring that up because most GMs in the game, Frank told us this a long time ago, they already know how to play that.
Yeah.
They already know how to get their stories out there and they know which writers and which beat people. I mean, even the Cowboys know that too. Stephen Jones, whoever's in that front office, they know if it's, well, I mean, everybody.
Is that us?
No.
Is that why he's coming on today?
No. This is different.
No.
This is the behind the scenes stuff.
Okay,
this
Steven,
is like the stuff that Jane gets, you know, where she's like, my source says, you know, these are the kinds of things that I'm talking about there is like, they know they can go to these certain people, that story and that message is going to get out. And like, this is the perfect time for it, too, right? Right around draft time, you go to your sources and you start leaking some things about it. And they got to be credible information. It's got to be credible and have a real story to it. But you know you can play a game with it that way.
Now, as we bounce back in to the first round of the draft, I'm going to bring this up because I know at least one person yesterday was really hung up on this one. Josh Liskowitz from Pro Football Focus has the Dallas Cowboys taking Luther Burden III, the wide receiver out of Missouri. I have to admit, at this stage in the game, although we talked about how the economy of the draft changes all the time, that feels high.
I think the same thing. Bobby, do you mind if I tap into your resource real
what?
Quick?
What? Bobby is here?
I watched Luther Burden, and because I was at the gym over the weekend, and Tolo wanted to talk about it, and he was like, I love Luther Burden, mm-hmm. and I've kept hearing the name. I believe that is would that probably be a broadest pet cat kind of feel?
He likes Luther.
But he has a good physical size. He has a good physical ability to go get the ball, and he's got good separation speed from what I saw. There just something was missing for me.
So the guy he most frequently gets compared to is Deebo Samuel. Okay. Which, that's great. You love a Deebo Samuel. But I always get a little leery of players who it's like, well, it's what they do after the catch, like when they're coming out of college. When it's like, oh, yards after catch and some of the different things they do to evade tacklers and do different things like that. When we're talking about that at the receiver position specifically. I think it's just there. I've seen so many times where those guys have busted.
Okay.
And so if I don't see, like, really
yards
tight
after catch can come in college for sure because yeah. there's a lot of weak links on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that was a guy like N'Keal Harry. That was Malachi Corley last year. Yeah. He didn't turn out to have a good
Tavon
year.
Tavon Austin was that kind of player back in the day.
And so to me, it's like, get me a guy who I know can consistently get open, which I feel like is more golden than McMillan.
There you go. So that's, ooh. I think that's really a really good breakdown there. There was something missing about him, but I love the toughness of the player, man.
Now, there are three more to throw out in the mix.
Can I ask you a question regarding that? Would that be if you got your running back earlier and then the other two wide receivers were gone and Luther Burden's later and you were like, okay, I can make a move here?
Yeah.
Like, that would feel more comfortable, not necessarily at 12, though.
Yeah, okay. For sure. I think that's
I
a good
if
way
he
to
be
put
available,
it.
But if he was, that would be a play.
Especially now, it's like seeming more and more. Like, we'll see probably four quarterbacks taken in the first round.
Could be seven. So,
oh my gosh, that would be a stunner.
It would be wild.
So Tyler Booker, the offensive guard from Alabama, Mikael Williams, the edge from Georgia, and Jalon Walker, the edge from Georgia. Now, for that one, that was an NFL.com suggestion that the Cowboys move up to pick number 8, where the other ones, they would stay static. Are there any of those three particular players that you would like to focus in above the rest?
I really think Walker's extremely talented off the edge. And at 8, that would be a very nice addition to this team. Again, in that note, it was, I know you already got a fast, twitchy, strong defensive end that gets to the quarterback, but how fun would it be to have 2? And I think that's
sure.
How much is that going to affect your run defense when you still have Mozzie and you're not quite certain what you're getting up the middle and your linebackers are in their kind of state of flux that they're still in?
I'm sure we'll have at least one person in the media tell us how awesome Mozzie is during spring training.
It'll happen.
During training camp.
And there's going to be a coach too. To have that kind of pressure, that's what we saw with Dan Quinn. It was an absolute blast to have that kind of pressure on the quarterback because we were getting interceptions because of help from the pass rush. We were getting those sacks that we were looking forward to that were in crunch moments. You need a sack right now, and they were able to come up with it because they had the talent to do it.
Is that worth a third-round pick to you? Because essentially, that would be the cost. The cost, give or take, of bouncing up from 12 to 8 would be your third-round pick.
What about a fourth?
We don't have a fourth.
Can we trade all of our fifths for a fourth?
Yeah.
When you have 800 fifth round picks.
I think you just have 3 left now.
Okay, all right. No,
I mean, that's still a lot.
I don't know if I would do it for that because I don't need it. It would be
maybe
fun
only
to,
2.
Okay, it would be fun to have, but I don't want to give up a third round pick because, again, I still have so many other areas I want to develop and get better at. So okay. I want to have as many picks as possible. But if I feel like when you're at 12, you still have plenty of other talent that's going to be there. There's no reason to have to jump anywhere.
The thing I'm concerned about, and this goes back to the idea of players 10 through 40 maybe being all fairly equivalent, is if you're like, hey, there's 6 people that we would still consider. Let's try to trade down. If there will be, you know, any sort of market for a team that's like, oh, no, I'll trade up with you. I view it differently, and I think this player's a standout.
How are you very cavalier with your trade up and trade down feelings, or are you more, I don't want to say the word conservative, but when it comes to
probably
are you more like, no, I'm good where I am no matter where you are in the draft?
No, I'm always open to the idea of trading down with you. When you get within, you know, honestly, in a lot of these rounds, when you get within 5 picks, you have like your idea of, hey, we think all these players could be ready. I would be in on all these players, and then see if you could trade down. Cause like, let's say if you wanted to trade down from even like 12 to 16, then you have the possibility of maybe picking up Arizona's 3rd rounder if you throw in a little something extra, or maybe you can get Arizona's 4th and another 5th rounder to add to the menagerie of picks. And so if I still think I've got all these people slotted about the same, I'm all about trading down.
I feel like
I just don't know if the market's going to be there.
I feel like with your love for math, and as the math show of record, I feel like with your love for math, you kind of see it in these little compartments where you're shifting around and you're seeing the value go up and you're like, I got 2 points better than they did, suckers.
Yeah, a little bit. I actually, honestly, I really would. And like if I was, if somebody was trying to trade with me and they were like, I got to give us more points. And I'd be like, this draft sucks for overall talent. I'll give you less points because you don't want to trade. You want to trade down. I don't really want to trade up.
I'm doing my thing.
Yeah. And I'll slow play it and be like, this draft is terrible for talent past number 10. Like everyone's lumped in together. And so you want me to trade up and give you a premium? Get the hell out of here. I'll give you 80% on the dollar.
I don't love to spend on the trade up. I just don't.
For sure.
I don't know how often it. I guess Mahomes worked out, right? But I don't know how often it is a home run that way.
Well,
versus how often it is a bad play.
Let me give you an example. I know a team in the last 2 years, they traded their 2 fourth round picks. They got somebody that never played and is not on the roster anymore, and another person who could be your fourth wide receiver.
Oh, and who never played?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance played. I mean, we needed him to play because we didn't have any other options.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
The time, but he played.
He never really played. And wide receiver number 4.
That is valid at the moment.
Some pretty
that is true.
Sweet trades that the Cowboys have swung there.
I'm sure, look, trial and error. You know, sometimes you figure out that it didn't work and you go back to the drawing board and you start all over.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Do you want an actual salary cap in Major League Baseball? Next on The Fan.
The 0-2. Driven out to center. Meadows underneath it. He's got a backflip for the victory. A 1-2-3 ninth. And the Bananas blank the Pony Animals 2-0 on night one in Truist.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. And yes, let us start by talking about the Savannah Bananas. So the Savannah Bananas were on 60 Minutes the other day, and ESPN announced they're going to show 10 of their games this season. We talked about how the wait list for tickets in Frisco was bananas. They filled up a football stadium. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but do you view Savannah Bananas as just like the modern Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, man.
Okay.
They are, I mean, because it's different than baseball. Like, it's a different form. It's something you would definitely do with your buddies and an inner squad game, but it's not something that you're like, oh, man, this is the professional league that I always adored. That being said, do some of our sports feel a little stuffy sometimes? Like,
yes.
You're like, hey, have a little fun with what you're doing out there instead of penalizing these guys for some of these, like the hip thrust. We really got to get that upset about a hip thrust?
If they try to shut down Ja Morant throwing the grenade, then I'm going to be like, come on.
Is that your favorite new celebration?
And also, like,
if Dirk did it, would anybody ever complain?
No. And all I look, we've talked about this, and I know all the ridiculous situations Ja Morant has gotten into. But when you're walking down the court going pew 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 pew, I don't know if I necessarily am like, oh my gosh, Ja Morant was pretending like he was shooting the crowd.
The next thing you know, he's going to bring one out during a game.
Yeah, that's just not.
What?
Like,
no.
I guess that's not really the way I feel.
But yeah, I have not seen a Savannah Bananas game. I love their rules. I think their rules are fun. I've seen a lot of their stuff on TikTok and social media.
Do you think they could beat the White Sox is what the 716 wants to know.
Oh,
I don't know. I guarantee if you ask Mike that when he was on the show, he'd say not a chance.
Yeah.
Right? No, the Major League Baseball
is too busy learning Spanish right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he is learning a lot of Spanish. Like it was the Major League Baseball level to be there. Those guys, he's probably would say those guys are double, triple A guys.
Yeah.
But to be at the level that it takes to be in the major leagues. And I think I'm trying to figure out the right phrase to say here. That's Mike being very honest about how difficult it really is to be at that level. It's not easy to get to the majors.
I'm also kind of curious. Now I want to know more about the pay structure of the Savannah Bananas. Because, like, do you find yourself in a position if you're like that single A, double A player where you're like, you know what, I'm going to give up on my dream because the path to make way more money is available for me right here. All right, let's go from that to Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant is on the 10-day injured list because, of course, he is. He has a degenerative disc disease, and obviously injuries have plagued his entire career. So here's another one for the Rockies player. Jose Siri, you said yesterday you thought it looked really serious when we were obviously making fun of the A's for just not having anything that works. He has a fractured left tibia, and he's going to be out, quote, a while.
Yeah.
Like, anytime you even just get, it's going to be a while, you're like, okay, well, don't count on that anytime soon.
When you hear fracture, do you feel like it's worse than a clean break? I don't know why I always feel like fracture is worse. I don't know if I'm close to correct here about the length of time that it takes. But I feel like with fractures, they're more likely to say, okay, we're going to rehab, and this clean break is going to heal very fast, and you're going to be back to it. I don't know.
That could be.
But that's and whenever you're dealing with a tibia, that's you're running. You're doing everything on that. You can't even ride a bike the right way.
Yeah, that is unfortunate for sure. Let's talk about Paul Skenes and Henry Davis. They made MLB history for being the first pitcher catcher battery, both number one picks.
Really?
Woo!
Have you seen the side by side, or not the side by side, the composition? I don't know what it is. Where they throw two balls at once in the video?
Yeah. I've seen it before. Yeah.
So they have a video out right now of Skenes throwing his 99 mile an hour fastball and then throwing his sweeper that's 20 inches of break on it. And I'm just like, how is that even fair to anybody in the world to try to hit that pitch after you just saw 99 blow by?
It was not fair to Washington. They could not figure it out. They're like, I don't know what to do. So they went ahead and took the L. We talked yesterday about Aaron Judge is going to be on the United States roster and be the captain for the World Baseball Championships. Oh, my God. Classic. Why did I just blank on that? Yeah, that's really disappointing. Fernando Tatis Jr. is expected to make his debut for the Dominican national team in the 2026 World Baseball Classic.
And when is that? May or March?
It's in March.
February? I can't wait. I'm like, it's 1 year away, and will it do for baseball? Like, did it feel like it gave baseball a little bump that
100%.
Year?
100%. Look, as much as we talked about the four nations hyping up hockey, The last World Baseball Classic absolutely amped people up for the baseball season.
Two things. One, overlay is the word I was looking for with the pitches. Two, the bump that that hockey got from the four nations, was it the same as what baseball got with World
Cup? Probably pretty similar.
So can you replicate it? I guess that's the next thing is can you get that kind of vibe again where everybody's that excited about it the second time? Because this felt like a cool little feature. And I know, like, they spread it out over time, and Mike even discussed that, like the All-Star game, you know, spreading it out every 3 years and doing something like that. I wonder if you can get that same kind of vibe from it.
I mean, you might have to get Shohei Ohtani on the mound again, or maybe you'll watch Roki Sasaki will come into his own, and you'll get, like, Roki Sasaki against Aaron Judge.
And Judge pitching to Roki?
No. Then, I think it'll be a walk. But then you get Dodgers against Yankees. You get potential, you know, World Series matchup, or it could be rematch and like two great players, and just see how it goes. as Roki Sasaki's last two starts have been significantly more encouraging than his first two. Still not great, but significantly more encouraging. Now, let's talk about the salary cap. And I wanted to go and throw this out there because, well, we should probably just get people prepared for it. When they go ahead and postpone the 2027 baseball season, this is going to be the reason why. Try to act surprised, but you still get two more years of baseball before we're going into another lockout or strike. Just, again, try to act surprised when it happens.
I feel like you keep bringing this up for a reason.
Oh, is it John Smoltz? We'll see.
He lived through a strike and lockout before.
Which is why you don't think he would have that opinion.
Because he's like, we solved it back then, guys.
Look, I'm just saying, there seems to be a lot of pessimism behind the scenes about how easy this whole deal is going to get done. And part of the reason is Rob Manfred, who, remember, hates baseball, has begun contemplating a new league economic structure for what the league is going to look like going forward. Look, that's how you know your contract negotiations are all going to get more complicated. Instead of just like, hey, do you want to like maybe tweak this or this? You come to the table and you're like, hey, let's do something totally different. Like, that's just inherently going to take time to figure out. But as part of it, the idea is they would put in a real salary cap. Obviously, now they have their preposterous salary cap, somewhat similar to what the NBA does when they're like, hey, you can't go over this level. But if you do, it's okay for a couple years. But then you better not go over this next level, which is where the Rangers are at right now, so they can reset and only go over the cap two straight years instead of three straight years. And so MLB is apparently looking at saying, hey, let's just make a real cap. And if you're the Players Association, I could see how you would be like, I'm going to pass on that.
No, that's not what we want. And then what happens? The owners go, well, that's what we're negotiating with you. Take it or leave it. And the players say, well, our option is then to leave it. And then they say, well, then y'all are striking. And they say, no, y'all are locking us out. And then it is a, hey, we're trying, the public has to decide which side to be on. Be on the player's side in this, in most instances.
And it's tough. Look, we've talked about this before. It is weird because I find myself getting fooled by this as well. Is you'll hear people like, oh, those greedy players always trying to get more money. And you're like, what do you think the owners are trying to do?
Mm-hmm,
they're
mm-hmm.
not like, hey,
they want more for the fans.
We're doing this for the fans in baseball. Once we get this money back, huzzah, discounted tickets. That is not going to happen.
Matter of fact, once they get it, huzzah, we are now upping the ticket prices.
Do you know how much extra money I have now to throw on the pile?
But only.
And like, that's what we all, because it's hard for me to picture being a billionaire as opposed to like, I played baseball once. Now, clearly I was never going to be good enough to amount to anything in the baseball world, but I can be like, I play for the love of the game, blah, blah, blah. Whereas it's harder for me to go, yeah, I'm into this one thing and now I have $16 billion.
But if you were a billionaire with $16 billion, would the whole desk be made out of the gold bars or would you just have a stack of them on the desk?
No, I think I would just have a stack of gold bars, preferably 10. So you could stack them up in the nice 4-3-2-1 pyramid. Hell, I
didn't know how many it would take to get to that, by the way.
It takes 10. 4-3-2-1. And so that would be the direction that I would want to go.
And Alec, you know what I would do every day, right? I'd walk in and move the second one on the bottom, just out, just a little bit.
The deception going on in your mind to think you'll ever see me again once I get $16 billion. I don't want to see anybody then.
We're going to play Jenga with his gold bars.
That'll get you booted out of the compound pretty quickly.
Man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, with folks down and out on the Mavs, could Paige Becker's jumpstart interest in the Wings next on the Fan?
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.